Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. You want your money to grow. You want to break the cycle of doing the same things over and over again with the same results. I hope you're shaking your head yes. If you are in search of becoming financially free, you need to know these 5 principles of personal finance with our guest, Curtis May.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Compton-Game, where we flip the script on the old school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
If you couldn't tell from the opening clip, our guest, Curtis May, has a lot to say about how you should think about your money if you're in search of becoming financially free, which, let's be real, we all are, right? That's why we're here. Curtis is the creator and owner of Practical Wealth Advisors and the host of the Practical Wealth Show podcast. And Curtis has been planning for individuals for more than 35 years. He's so passionate about helping his clients save money and really live the best life they can right now. In this episode, which, by the way, I'm just going to give you a little caveat, you will need to listen to more than once to just, I think, let all of Curtis's tips and ideas really sink in. But in this episode, he is sharing his 5 principles of personal finance, the secret to truly achieving financial freedom, and 3 rules of investing that he thinks everyone needs to learn. I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and I think it's time. Let's dive into the conversation. Curtis, I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for being here.
John, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to tell you both things I know.
We've got a lot to talk about. I wanted to start here. You've been working with people for over 35 years, helping them save money, live their best life. What are some of the secrets, if you will, maybe they're not so secrets, that you have to helping people kind of cross that bridge, financially speaking, to start living their best life? Like, what are they doing in order to get to that place?
Yeah, you know, it's not a secret. It's just, it's really fundamental. And the secret is that most of the financial noise you hear out there tells you you're not smart enough. You don't have the time, the temperament, the training to manage your own money. And basically, in so many words, they say, give your money to us. But if you're not involved with it, where has that worked where you haven't studied, you know, learned stuff, been in control of things? You know, where has that worked out favorably in any other area of your life? So why do it with your money? So the secret is you are 2 + 2 = 4. Okay. And, you know, I don't think it's that complicated, but, you know, everybody goes to work for money. You need to know how money works. So there are principles, and this is what we teach, principle-based planning, that help clients become and remain financially free. So, you know, principles work no matter what. And so it's not about products. You know, it's about, you know, Jim Rohn used to say, most people don't have a money problem. They have a philosophy problem. And, you know, and it's how they think. So when you get a dollar, there's only 4 things you can do with it. You can spend it, save it, invest it, or give it away. Right. And so, but your philosophy is the order in which you think about that. Right. And so if you think money is the, you know, I don't have time, Sean, to be politically correct. Poor people think money is to spend. This is your perspective. It's not about the money. It's about your perspective. Money, you get money, my job of money is to pay bills or to spend it, right? So if you think that way, you're going to be broke all your life. And I know we would start out this hard, but come out the
here
game.
We are.
Right,
here we
okay. are. Right? All right, here. And so middle income people think money, their perception is I want good credit and I want to pay my bills on time so I can have good credit so I can buy things, cars, things I can't afford. And then we use debt to supplement lifestyle, right? But bad debt is spending money you have not yet earned. And then what wealthy people, when they get money, and it's not, and they don't do this because you're wealthy. See, this is the thing, you know, because people are hating on money. Money is a green paper you exchange for goods and services, and you have to have the right thought process going in your mind if that's the big secret, right? And it's, you see money as a tool to, so you save it, then you invest it. So what you want to do, and this is work, right? You got to think about how can I put my money back out to make and bring back more money before I spend it. And it's just that little slight carburetor adjustment is the difference.
So would you say then, I mean, I think what I'm hearing is our thinking around money, our kind of mentality around money, that maybe that's what gets in the way of us becoming financially free more so than the amount of money we have, because we could have a smaller amount of money, but still utilize it in a quote unquote wealthy way. And that could produce more money and vice versa. We could have a lot of money and not spend it or save it or invest it wisely and not be financially free.
Yeah, 1000%. Yes, absolutely.
That's, I love exactly that. So talking about saving money, you know, saving money is a real goal for so many of us. And for a lot of us, we've tried it, maybe it's worked for a while and then something happens or we just stop saving money for whatever reason. Are there ways to set realistic saving goals, but then also follow it up with accountability?
Yes. So saving, so let's talk about saving. So, because a lot of people think, well, I'm putting money in my 401k and I'm saving. That is not saving. Okay, so we're clear. And because a lot of people have the, you've been taught that's been saving by the financial institutions, but that's not saving. Savings, let me define it, safe, liquid, accessible guaranteed. Okay. So you can't lose money. And so let's define savings. Now, savings has got to be automatic and systematic. You're not going to do it. See, so, you know, that whole willpower thing, that's not going to work. So what you got to do is you got to decide how much of your, Tony Robbins said it great and what best and well, not best, but it was a really good definition. You got to, the first decision you have to make is how much of your money that you work for that you get to keep, right? Or in Richest Man in Babylon, which is one of my favorite books, is part of all you earn is yours to keep. That's a philosophy, okay? And so now, tactically, what we do with clients, we call it a wealth coordination account, or you call it a wealth capture account. You have to automate it. So, for example, somebody was making, let's just say $75,000 a year. So our goal for people, our first principle is to save 15% or more of your gross income, okay? So that would be $11,250 a year. So if you divide that by 26, that's $432 a pay. So now here is the work. You set up an account, you label it, you know, here's my wealth capture account, and then you go to HR and I want you to take $432 out of every pay that will go into this wealth coordination account. I want it to be a checking account, not a saving, because it's not going to stay there. But what you've got to do is make yourself pay. That's what it means to pay yourself first. You've got to treat yourself as a bill. And before anybody gets paid, you got to get paid.
So then what are you doing with that savings in that account once you have that system kind of automated?
Well, it depends. There's different levels of it. So one of the other principles we teach is liquidity. So a lot of people think, oh, I got $3,000. Can I start investing? No, that is, you don't have any money. Okay. And so I want to step on some toes, but you need the first goal is 90 days of your income. Now, I teach a strategy. So there's principles. I teach five principles. Principles drive strategy. Strategy drive tactics. So a strategy I teach, and we'll go into it later if you want to get into it, is called becoming your own banker. So, and the tactic is we have a specific place where we have our clients store their cash. But initially, I just need you to, and so some of the money in the wealth capture account flows into this vehicle where we teach them how to be their own bank. But the goal, just principally, is 6 to 12 months of liquidity of your income, okay, in cash. So some of that, you know, like 2 weeks in the house, like in your mattress or wherever, you know, to cover it, right? Because, you know, there are situations where, you know, in Texas last year, they had, or is it this year? Was it only this year? Where the power was out, they weren't used to cold weather. Right. And so if you don't have cash, if the power's out, you can't go to ATM. You can't go to, up here we have Wawa, I'm going to say 7-Eleven or, you know, the store, because the cash registers don't work. Right. So you need cash to do business. So I want a couple of weeks of cash that you keep with you. Okay. Then I want a month or two in the bank. I call it ATM money. And then your serious money, then we move on. One of the things I teach is to properly structure dividend paying whole life is a superior place to store cash. That's a whole hour in itself. But that's where we store our cash. Now, because most people are taught to invest, which is put money at risk and send it away from them, you need to capitalize, right? So that when opportunities present themselves, you have money to really make some, you know, and if you have money, opportunities will find you. But the first thing is, you know, the pandemic has proven the need for liquidity. So what was supposed to be 2 weeks, let's flatten the curve. We're over a year, going on 2 years with that.
Right.
Right. And so cash is king. So you need now everything over 90 days. Then I want you to think of yourself as a little hedge fund, and I want you to be looking for cash machines, businesses, real estate. You know, you have to put the money to work. We teach velocity. See, most people, the other problem is, let me stay on that thought, first of all, because I was about to drift off to another topic. So let's stay on the savings. So what do? You look for, after about 90 days, then you're looking for ways to buy assets, right? What is an asset? Something that puts money in your pocket. And so real estate, a business. I've got people that got 4 or 5 cars on Turo, you know, so you're looking for ways to put your money to work. But the emphasis is on cash flow, not on accumulation, buy and hold, dollar cost averaging, you know, all that stuff that you've been taught to focus on. We disagree with all that, because that's not how people get rich. If that's your goal, if that's your goal, you know, don't worry, don't listen to anything I say.
I want to dive a little bit into this, the velocity of money, because it's a principle I believe in myself a lot. And it's how I've seen people get wealthy over the years. So if I'm looking for these cash generating, cash flow generating opportunities, you know, whether I'm like in my 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever age demographic I'm in, how do I evaluate what is the right opportunity or right fit for me?
That's a good question, because investing is personal. One thing that, you know, if you read, I tell you, and two books, if you guys want to go deeper on velocity, right, is I always, you know, I'm a big Rich Dad fan, right? And the third book, Rich Dad's Guide to Investing, and then the fourth book, Who Took My Money? It's all about velocity of money, okay? And Laurel Landmeyer's book, The Millionaire Maker, just throw out some reference. And so, you know, velocity is a concept, an economic concept, which is the movement of money. And so we've been taught to keep our money stagnant. So Shauna, one of the things that we teach, investing is not about buying something. It's about becoming something.
I like that.
Okay. And so we are always looking, because we've been trained to look for easy, and we're busy, and we don't really want to think. Well, that's a problem, okay? Because you have to reach, I talk to clients about this, four asset classes, right? There's business, there's real estate, there's paper, and there's, to a lesser extent, well, it's not a lesser extent, look, for most people, that's not, really won't be anywhere near there, what is called commodities, you know, oil and gas. I'm sure trying to debate if it's crypto is a commodity or a paper asset. Probably a little bit of both. I view it more as a speculative asset. So people think, well, I invest in Bitcoin. Okay. I'm going to give you my definition of investing in a minute. But what you want to do is you have to research it. So you have to capitalize. Then you have to look for things. What makes sense to you? What do you like? What is your expertise? Because what I teach people, their number one asset is them, right? So what do you invest in? Your mindset, you know, your expertise, your skill set, which you know how to do, because specialized knowledge is what makes money, okay? And your network, who do you know, who knows you? And then our three rules of investing is invest in what you know, right? So how do I do with my capital, Curtis? Well, what do you know, okay? Or what are you willing to learn about? What, you know, what can you influence the outcome of? See, I can't influence the performance of a mutual fund. Only thing I can do is put more money in and hope the market goes up. Well, hope ain't a good strategy.
Crossing your fingers doesn't always work, right?
That doesn't help me, right? And which is what 90% of the people in the United States do, right? And, you know, so you want to look for things that you like, you know, and, you know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be, I always tell, you know, Jim Rohn says profits are better than wages. So when I explained to the kids, I said, look, wages make you a living, profits make you a fortune. And they'll say, well, what's a profit? I said, well, you see the people that sell, I'm from Philly, right? So the water on the street, or during the summer, people come to basketball courts, you know, I still, even at my advanced age, still think I'm a ball player. I am a little ball player. And, but what they'll do is I know a guy that comes and plays, he has a case of, he gets a cooler, he gets a case of water. A case of water is like $4 or $5, right? It's 24 in a case. You sell each one for $1, it's $24. You take out your four to get another case. That's profit. That's a business right there. Right. And he sells like water for $1, Gatorade for $2. That's velocity. Right. Mm-hmm. And then that's an enterprise. It's not much more complicated than that. Mm. OK. Right. And then you invest in and stop chasing returns. So those are the three rules. Invest your expertise, invest in what you can control or influence the performance or outcome of, and stop chasing returns. See, most people are chasing last year's return. I used to do a lot of mutual funds earlier in my career, and we used to call it rear view mirror investing. Most people are chasing, you know, Money Magazine will come out with, you're the top, you know, 50 funds or whatever. But that was last year. Okay. And so now you move all your money to that one and it's down and you're always just like a dog chasing a tail. They're always chasing last year's winners.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm.
Interesting. Okay, so the better way to do it is to, you know, create this cash generating machine, whatever that is, or what, you know, your job, your earnings, whatever that is, you kind of create your own wealth bucket, as you've talked about, and then find ways to take that money and just make that money grow. And it could be something small. It doesn't have to be huge things. But what you're talking about is thinking outside of the box of what we're just sort of almost like automatically trained to do, which is just we automatically put our money in mutual funds or whatever that might be. And we just kind of sit back and cross our fingers and hope that wealth accumulates.
Yeah. And so accumulation in and of itself is a bad idea. Okay. And so think about this. Here's the four rules that govern all financial institutions' advice. Okay. And so, Shauna, role play with me. So let's say you used to start your own Vanguard or your own bank, financial institution, right? And you're trying to, your number one goal is what? To convince me to put my money in your institution.
Yes.
Right? How often do you want it?
All the time.
All the time, like every pay, right?
Yes.
How long do you want me to leave it there?
Forever.
Forever, right? And so you want me to leave there as long as possible, and you never want me to get it out, do you?
Never.
So now, that's the goal of any, there's no glory in any financial product, because understanding that's their goal. And their goal is assets under management. Now, something wrong with that. You just need to know the game that they're playing, right? Because your goal, and our listeners' goal, is what? Hopefully, is to be financially free.
Yes.
Which is passive income greater than expenses. So if you've got institutions, and you said the goal is for you to never get your money. Think about that.
Right.
You know, y'all y'all are not on the same page. Let's put it that way. So now here's the question. So if that's not good for you, how do they get you to do what they want you to do?
They keep sucking me back in.
Right. Right. And so there's basically financial indoctrination. So when you watch the news, most of the, what I call the middle class, what is considered mainstream financial stuff, it's buy and hold. It's what I call the accumulation theory. Buy and hold, dollar cost average, get out of debt, buy term investor difference, you know, you're in it for the long haul, get a diversified portfolio of mutual funds. That's the language that you hear. Okay. And it seems reasonable. But if you look at what institutions do, we call this the velocity method. They don't do any of that stuff. Okay. Right. They would never, would an institution, would a business, would Buffett, would they ever put money in an account that they can't touch for 30 years that they have no control over?
Never.
Never. Okay. Well, why would we do that? Because we've been brainwashed to do that. Oh, you're not smart enough. You don't have the time to train to manage your own money. So give it to us. You know, here's your number. You know, let's get this big pool of money that's worked for 35 years so you can retire, man-made concept. Okay. That's not a thing. Okay. So you're going to put this money where you can get this big pile of money. I call it going up the mountain. And you've got this big pile. And then you're going to live off that money for the next 30, 35 years.
And hopefully it's going to be enough.
And hopefully it goes. So the baby boomers' number one fear, and it's the Millennial Money Show, is running out of money, right? And so that in now, it's worse than that, right? With a fluctuating stock market, with a dollar that the value of that dollar goes down every day.
Right.
Think about that, right? So you see $1 million. Oh, I need $1 million, which is not enough, by the way, because if you get 4%, you make $80,000, you got $1 million. That's like $40,000 a year. You already got to cut your cost of living 50%.
Right.
Right. And you can't really even safely say you can get 4%. All right. And on, you know, on the distribution. But that's what, you know, the powers that be will tell you that you can do. That's like standard, hey, 4% distribution rate. But the problem is inflation. So think about this. Because of inflation, your dollar will never be worth more than it is today.
Yeah, which is a scary thought.
Yeah, right. And so let's hit another thing. Since obviously, once you have that understanding, then why would you, because this is what a lot of your people think about, why would you try to pay your house off early? Why would you try to pay double down on your student loans?
Right.
Okay. Because does getting out of debt make you wealthy?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. So it just brings you up to zero. Okay.
So, yeah. I want to dive in that a little bit, because that is definitely the fire movement, the whatever, you know, there's a lot of money experts out there that talk about no debt, pay everything off. And I'm of the camp where I believe that just what you said, that doesn't get you closer to wealthy. It gets you debt free. Yes. It gets you to zero, but then what from there? So how do we even sort of change that form of thought in our head to really understand that concept, to really understand what you're talking about?
Yeah, you got to know how much. See, so once you know, some of this, you generally say economics is major, right? So we don't understand economics, right? And we don't understand our monetary policy. I just went deep on somebody, but, you know, their goal is to create inflation, right? So inflation is not rising price. Most people don't understand. So you got to follow the bouncing ball. So let me go here. I'm going to nerd out for 30 seconds on economics, right? Inflation is not rising prices. The true definite, you say change the definition of things, right? So inflation is an increase in the money supply. So when you hear quantitative easing or like we're printing money, you hear that language and all this money is printed. Well, more money debases the currency that already exists, right? So it has less purchasing power. So gas is up like 100% over last year. Well, you printed all this daggone money. So the money is, you've got more money chasing fewer goods. So the prices go up. So price inflation is a result of monetary inflation. Okay. So now let's take that back. So, and our dollar is debt, right? We have Federal Reserve notes. So you're literally saving debt. So now how much did gas cost? I know you're relatively young. How much did gas cost when you graduated high school?
I don't remember, but I would have to say it was somewhere around $2. Mm-hmm. Some change.
I remember it was 80 cents.
It was always more expensive.
Right. But it was 80 cents, 50%. I remember we drove the floor. It was like a 55 cent a gallon. But you look at the same dollar bill, but it doesn't buy as much, does it? And see, so now if you look at you got a fixed payment, let's say with a mortgage and student loans, right? So your income is going up, but the payment is fixed, right? And you've got a dollar that is worth less. So wouldn't it be prudent to use your more valuable today dollars to focus on creating more revenue than to giving your money away? Because, you know, the financial institutions understand rule number one also, that your money will never be worth more than today. So why do you think they give you a lower rate on a 15-year mortgage than a 30?
Right.
Right. Because people say, well, 30-year mortgage. I have this guy on Clubhouse. Like, I was a mortgage cancellation guy. And I'm like, I'm not with that program, because he's like, well, you're going to pay for your house three times over and you're going to give all this money away. Yeah, but if the banks know that, and they would want you to keep the mortgage 30 years, but they'll give you a lower rate for a 15-year mortgage, because guess what? They want velocity. They want their money back faster, because when you give it, all you're doing is giving them, creating velocity for them. When the money comes in, they just loan it back out. So if you're thinking what I call on the offense, that's what you've got to do, but you've got to learn how to, it goes back to becoming. Right. Because you don't know anything to do with the money. So you're like, well, I might as well pay the house off. Or you're just, I'm working. I'm going to max out my 401k. And you're not thinking. So you put your brain to sleep and you don't even think about creating more money. more cash flow. Right. And so, and all we're doing is, okay, it sounds good, but we're just giving our, see, if you give it, first rule of wealth is pay yourself first. So if you say, well, I'm going to send extra money to the mortgage, or I'm going to double down on my student loans so I can get rid of this debt, what you've done is you've given away your working capital to work your way to zero instead of letting inflation destroy the debt for you.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. It takes a little mind bender. I like it. Yeah.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process, helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me, and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So is there a certain debt, like credit card debt or maybe some other loans, that are prudent and worthwhile to pay off
Yeah. So I like to, so what you want to do is, so there's good debt and bad debt, right? I know you believe that, right? And so let's talk about that first and I'll go in. So good debt, if you're not paying it back, like if you buy a duplex or you were, you know, buying an asset, it's not debt, it's leverage. Okay. And you're using other people's money to buy a real thing that's bringing you back cash flow. Okay. Now, with the credit cards, so if you separate them out, what I like is like if you send extra payment money on a car payment or a student loan payment on a mortgage, does the payment change?
No.
No. So your cash flow, so you're giving away your money, whereas if you pay it on a credit card debt, does the payment change?
Yes.
Yeah, the payment goes down. So you're improving your cash flow.
Right. Okay.
And it's expensive debt. So if it doesn't, you know, lines of credit, like if it doesn't improve your cash flow, let's say you want to pay the car off. So we'll show people how to use our banking strategy. And let's say your car balance is $10,000. Well, we'd rather have people save up the $10,000 and then pay it all off all at once and then bring those payments back to themselves. Okay. And you know, borrow, use their savings as collateral, pay it off, and then take that $300 car payment and pay it back to you. But if it doesn't improve your cash flow, it is not the highest, best use of your money because you're paying the car off earlier, but you're giving up your cash flow. Because see, what people don't, it's a couple things. Oh, Sean, so much stuff. It's people don't understand opportunity cost, right? You finance everything you buy because you either pay interest to somebody else or you're giving up interest you could be earning. So when you pay cash for stuff, Dave says, well, pay cash for everything. That's so in 2022, that's not the best advice because it's not. And so in middle income world, they don't take they don't really teach opportunity costs because if you go right, you give up the opportunity to go left. Right. And so if you're let's say you're an account that's making 4%, 3-4%, and then you withdraw it, you're not making that money anymore. All right. And so even if you put it in a property, the rate of return on equity is zero, right? So there's ways to kind of have your cake and eat it too, but you've got to understand that that's a whole talk in itself, opportunity cost. But look up opportunity cost, guys. You got to recognize that because that's a real cost. Like if you're there's something they teach called the rule of 72. So let's say you're earning at 6%, you divide your interest rate into 72, it tells you how long it takes your money to double. So 6 goes into 72 12 times, right? So if you got $10,000, in 12 years, it'll be worth 20. In 12 more years, the 20 will be worth 40, okay? But if you spend the $12,000, do you get the doubling?
No.
No, but it's still working. It's just working for the person you transferred your wealth to.
Right.
So it still works. See, just because you don't see it, it's still happening in your life. And so it's those daily decisions that you make and how you manage your cash flow and your philosophy and understanding economics and opportunity costs. Those are the things that you got to kind of be more intentional about paying attention to and how you spend your money. Most wealth is lost by how people manage cash flow. So really it's at the point most people don't budget. I don't like budgeting. Per se, we teach something called cash flow mapping, where we have a tagline, tell your money where to go instead of asking where it went.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in that. I love that.
Yeah, you can't, you know, because budgeting is like driving your car, looking through the rearview mirror.
Exactly.
Right. And I want you to look through the windshield. So I want you to forecast and like I'm going to put 15, you know, so we say, look, just create 3 accounts. You've got your wealth capture. So you're going to take 15% off the top. Then you got fixed bills. You're going to create a fixed account. And then what's left over is your variable money. So I told people, look, you don't need to micromanage and pull your hair out and, you know, oh, I spent 8% on lunch this month. What? Stop. You know, just all you need to do is look, if you can save 15-20% of your income, Curtis don't care what you do the rest of it. Okay. And now you got to take that 15-20% and use it to make more money. Don't be stupid. But, you know, it's really about, can I progress? You know, what goals are you setting? All right. You hear that? I have a trash truck coming by. Okay. Sorry. And it's trash day here in Philly. So, you know, that kind of stuff. It's kind of looking forward, being intentional about how you spend money, being intentional about which you deploy your capital into. And that's the difference. But see, it's that sounds like work, doesn't it, Sean?
Yes, right.
People don't want to work. I had a cousin tell me, she goes, you know, I was showing her sister's like a big client of mine, and they have like a construction company and, you know, 40 or 50 units. Her sister's big, you know, it's a teacher. And, you know, I was telling her about what I was doing with her sister. So, you know, cause that's too much work. I just want to kind of work and, you know, max out my, my 401k.
Right.
I was like, all right, you're good. You're not a good client for me. Cause you know, I can't help you if that's all you want to do.
Right. So you have choice in this, right? You have a choice in the wealth creation, because I think so often we just think, oh, however much money we make, like that is the determinant factor of how quote unquote wealthy we'll be. But yeah, we also have a sizable, very sizable choice no matter how much money we make.
Yes. What do you do with it when it hits your personal economy? It's not so much the money. It's not what you earn, it's what you keep, right? And how hard it works for you. And then it's, you know, I always tell people you can't control the economy at large, but you can control your personal economy, which is your production and consumption as a family, right? And so you've got to control what you can control. And it starts there, like understanding that you're not just, you know, you're not just determined by the what blows and there's COVID and there's this and that, and I just got to take it. And you know, I need some president in charge to come fix my life. No. Okay. That's, you know, you are the captain of your ship, and it doesn't matter what's going on. It matters what you do. And so I quote Jim Rohn a lot. You know, it's not, he says, the winds of adversity blows on us all, but the difference is how you set your sail. And so what we've got to do is learn how to set a better sail.
So if you could go back, I mean, we've talked about so much, but if you could go back to your younger self, mm-hmm, and share what you think, maybe two or three kind of most important steps that you think to think about becoming financially free this way, living your best life, like what would those be?
One would be that, because I was in business. So I grew up, you know, I was blessed. My family's always been self-employed, so I never got that go to school, get a good job talk. So that I did start out right, but I didn't understand marketing, like, you know, and if I'd have really understood direct response marketing at 20, I would have made more money faster. Okay. If I thought like 100 grand was a lot of money, and it's really not if you're trying to run a business. And so my concept of you know, I need to make money faster. Well, where does money come from? Money comes from solving problems in the marketplace. So I would have looked for a market that I could serve, that I could generate a lot of results for them that in turn would make me more money. So I didn't understand any of that stuff. I was just running around selling, you know, trying to, you know, talk about, I started in financial services at 20, right? So I was just trying to talk to anybody that would listen. Okay. And so I would have discovered permanent life insurance earlier. I started out in something called buy term invest the difference movement, and I thought whole life was the devil. Now I'm took me to a 40 to figure out this banking thing, and I'm pissed that I didn't understand it, you know, for a long time, you know, because I was like a Dave Ramsey on steroids when I first got into the business for the first 8-10 years. I was
That's
that guy.
A scary visual.
Oh, I know. It's like, you know, better looking, but no.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. And cooler, much cooler. But but I was evangelical because I thought I was doing the right thing. I was evangelical. Why are these people? Oh, you know, it's the rain. The leaf people going up and down the street. Like, what are you doing?
Ah, yes. Their timing is always magnificent.
Right, right, right. So it's that. It's, you know, work smarter, being more intentional about attracting people and not chasing people around. I would have, I taught it, but I didn't do it. Like I thought paying yourself first meant I would fund like my SEP IRA, you know, and I would put money in mutual funds. But the problem is that wasn't liquid. So if I had to slow down in our business, I could get the money, but I'm always what I call drain the tank. I'm selling the shares. And then I'm starting over. So I was on that put and take thing. And I would have put money somewhere where I could access it without liquidating it. And a lot of people don't know there's an opportunity to do that. And I would try to get around. I was always trying to, but I see there's different levels. I always believed in the power of association, and I would have gotten myself into other groups with people with bigger brains than me earlier.
I like that. Wow. Well, I mean, we could talk for hours. this is phenomenal. I love that you're sharing all this, and hopefully somebody listening, this is at least cracking open maybe like a, you know, a little small window in the head of just thinking about money and wealth a little bit different. So tell everyone listening, you host a great podcast, The Practical Wealth Show. You're the owner of Practical Wealth Advisors. Tell everyone where they could go to connect with you, to hear more about you. You know, if they're interested in becoming a client, tell us a little bit more about how we get to you.
Right. So if you want to hear more of the madness that is Curtis that you've heard thus far, I would start with the podcast and, you know, check out the show. A lot of people might start binge listening, right? And then they go to our website, practicalwealthadvisors.com, and they just, you know, click a button that says apply to work with Curtis, and we can schedule a time to talk. One of the things that probably by the time the show comes out next in the new year, I'm going to start like 5-day challenges. I'm kind of organizing now and more group coaching. So when you get to our stuff, you'll probably start to see that stuff come out. And then also YouTube is a good place to, if you just want to, like some of the stuff that we've talked about, I'll have visuals of those on YouTube where I'll do little, you know, anywhere from 8 to 25-minute videos just talking about, you know, the three types of insurance, why the truth about qualified plans, for example, and, you know, how they work and why I'm not past the match, not a huge fan of them. And that's where most common advice, traditional advice will lead you towards. And so that's it. So listen to the show. I also, wait a minute. I had this thing. I can't remember what it is now. Hold on. I have a report called The Value of Liquidity. I'm big on having access to capital. And if your listeners want to get that report, if they text Be the Bank, all one word, BETHEBANK, to 55444, we'll send them, it's probably about a 12-page report, but it really talks about the velocity over accumulation and what that means. And I think that that's a lot. You don't really get that conversation a lot. And so at the core, Sean, I'm a financial educator. But to educate, the root word of educate is educe, which means to draw out. So I don't try to stuff a bunch of facts in. It's like, you're going to know, it's your money. It's not Curtis's money, right? So I'm the guide. So if you like that, if you're willing to work and read some books, because I'm going to give you homework, but you'll be smarter and you'll be more in control of your money. That's my goal, is to empower people in the conversation of their money and stop abdicating your power.
Was I right? I think Curtis's energy and enthusiasm is so infectious, and his knowledge and skill is second to none. He's been doing this for a very long time. So he has figured out what I believe is the wealth formula. And what I love is that Curtis is committed to helping you see beyond the real traditional rules of finance and look at everything through a completely different lens. I believe that is what creates true wealth. So I'm so happy that Curtis also shared that with you. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, do me the highest favor and share it with friends and family members, anyone who you think is on that path to financial freedom. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guest, as well as our amazing sponsors who make this podcast possible. I'll see you right back here in a few days for a brand new episode.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Before you go, we want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com, where you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.